picture Mike Tyson backing a $350,000 Lamborghini into a pole, then handing the keys to a security guard like it's loose change. This wasn't just reckless spending. It was a preview of the chaos about to unfold. The night before the infamous bite fight, Tyson had received a $30 million check and burned through over $1 million in 90 minutes. The next evening, in front of celebrities, politicians, and underworld figures packed into an arena crackling with Super Bowl energy, Tyson would commit one of sport's most shocking acts. By the third round, trailing and bleeding from what he believed were intentional headbutts, something snapped. He bit off a chunk of Evander Holyfield's ear and spat it onto the canvas. Climbing into the ring as police rushed in with billy clubs and fans hurled debris, what struck me most wasn't the violence itself, it was what happened after. Despite committing this horrific act, Tyson agreed to an interview. Agitated, shifting side to side, he justified himself. "What am I to do? This is my career. I got children to raise." When pressed, he shouted, "Look at me," pointing to his exposed orbital bone. No press release, no handlers, just raw, unfiltered accountability. As General Norman Schwarzkopf later told me, "Without Saddam, I'm just another four-star general. Without Tyson, you're just another sportscaster." Even in his darkest moment, Tyson faced the questions directly. Careers aren't built on talent alone. They're woven from relationships that begin in unexpected places. As a college student, I met Marvin Webster, the Denver Nuggets' human eraser, who invited me to rebound for him. When Webster was traded after helping the team win their division, I learned what Paul Silas's wife, Carolyn, called kissy-kissy, stabby-stabby. Teams expect loyalty from players, but don't return it. Yet Webster had introduced me to Julius Erving, who remembered me years later in Philadelphia. Dr. J saw my dedication, arriving early, staying late, running my own camera, and befriended me. In Philly, I also met Chuck Ailey, my broadcast partner who later introduced me to my future wife, Fran. When I married in Maui in 1996, Erving and Daly flanked me at the altar. My relationship with Jack Nicholson began while covering the Showtime Lakers. He'd call me after 2 a.m. to discuss coaching decisions, nicknaming me Scratchy. Over decades, my network grew organically, from Webster and Silas to Ali, Dr. J, Bob Arum, Don King, Al Davis, Jerry West, Charles Barkley, Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, and LeBron James. The foundation? Principles my father taught me. Honesty, integrity, trustworthiness. My 1999 World Series interview with Pete Rose sparked immediate backlash. Yankees players confronted me. "What you just did to Pete Rose wasn't right." But Rose's 1989 banishment agreement was an admission of guilt. The Dowd report documented him betting on 52 Reds games while managing. Every player passes signs reading "No gambling" by order of the commissioner thousands of times. This interview could have aided his reinstatement, but healing required truth. When I asked if he'd bet on baseball, Rose flatly denied it. "I'm not going to admit to something that didn't happen." After the Yankees' walk-off victory, Chad Curtis deliberately humiliated me on national television, refusing my question and announcing the team wouldn't talk to me. That night at 1:30 a.m., George Steinbrenner knocked on my hotel room door to personally assure me the incident didn't represent the organization. Orlando Hernandez, who had risked his life fleeing Cuba, told me through an interpreter, "If you speak up in my country and hold principle, you are persecuted. You are very brave." At 9, Eldrick Woods had 3 holes in one. I hired a crew to interview him at their Cypress Club, where he sank 4 of 15 sand trap shots while Earl jingled coins during drives to test his focus. Despite 20-hour training weeks, Tiger retained childlike exuberance, declaring he'd win all the major ones and beat all the pros. When he won the 1997 Masters by 12 strokes at 21, I watched from the radio tower as black employees at Augusta National, a club that admitted its first black member just 7 years earlier, watched with tears and smiles. Years later, after watching Tiger blow off fans and sponsors, I shared Mandela's wisdom. "People will forget what you say and what you do, but no one will ever forget the way you make them feel." His carefully marketed image collapsed with revelations of infidelity. I didn't think he'd win again. His 2019 Masters comeback proved astonishing. Walking behind him from the 18th green, I witnessed competitors waiting to embrace him, and this time, Tiger hugged back. Most quit on Tiger, but he never quit on himself. Tom Brady's approach to football is uniquely methodical. "We're not trying to be perfect, we're just trying to win the game," he often says. Yet his obsession with perfection is evident. He can feel when his mechanics are off by a hair. After witnessing a professional golfer shoot a 79 and shrug it off, Brady was incredulous. "If that was me, I'm not leaving the golf course. I'm going right to the driving range. I'm fixing it right now." After winning 3 Super Bowls by 2004, Brady endured a 9-year championship drought. The 2007 and 2012 Super Bowl losses to the Giants devastated him. "I found him alone with his trainer nearly 90 minutes after the second loss, still in uniform, head in hands." To overcome this and extend his career, Brady completely transformed his lifestyle with trainer Alex Guerrero, creating the TB12 method, focused on hydration, pliability, and nutrition. He traded cheeseburgers for avocado ice cream and revolutionized his training to play past 40. Before joining Tampa Bay, Brady visited Robert Kraft personally to say goodbye. When reading me his prepared statement for teammates, he broke down crying. "In spring 2010, I pitched LeBron's team on doing his first post-decision interview live, spontaneously naming it The Decision during an ESPN conference call. I deliberately avoided speaking with LeBron beforehand so I could honestly say I didn't know his choice. When I asked the question everyone was waiting for, he responded, 'In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.' The broadcast drew 13.1 million viewers, NFL-level numbers, and ESPN's most-watched studio show ever. The backlash was immediate and fierce. Cleveland fans burned jerseys, and critics falsely claimed I'd received 6 figures when I actually got less than $1,000 for expenses. We all share responsibility. ESPN for dragging out the reveal, LeBron's team for not considering Cleveland fans' feelings, and myself for not asking more direct questions." Despite the controversy, The Decision raised $6 million for charity and empowered athletes to control their narratives, ushering in the NBA's super team era. The Masters at Augusta National brings me profound joy and sadness. My father, Gerald Jerry Gray, was a self-made CPA who rose from the Mile High Kennel Club to partnering with oil baron Marvin Davis. His strict business confidentiality inadvertently pushed me toward a career of asking questions. Golf entered my life through him. He took lessons from Paul Runyon, a pro who played in the first Masters in 1934. After Runyon called my swing the most natural he'd ever seen, I featured him in a television segment that launched my golf broadcasting career. In 1992, I invited my father to the Masters, beginning our most cherished tradition. For over 20 years, he sat in the broadcast tower keeping score while I called the action. We witnessed Tiger's first win, Palmer's last round, and impossible shots together. At the 2013 Masters, I noticed him slowing at age 84. That December, after a fall left him bedridden, he decided he didn't want to live that way. I couldn't return to Augusta immediately. The void was too painful. When I finally did in 2016, I placed flowers on our favorite tower, and the Bessers left an empty chair with his favorite vodka beside it. The tradition isn't the same without him, but I carry his lessons. Be honest, help others, make a difference.